Well, amen. That was just beautiful. I do want to encourage you to come back this evening. Pastor Robert is preaching this evening. And I want you to know it's a big help to me to have him also doing some of the preaching. Right now, with things kind of being a little bit topsy-turvy, it is a big help with him preaching. And I encourage you to come. He brought a good message last week. He really did. Making good choices in this new year. And tonight he's going to be preaching from Jonah. And I think it's titled, Who Cares? So I really do appreciate Robert's help. However, if he mentions bacon one more time, I'm going to fire him. You see, for a little over a year, bacon has not been on my list. I'm trying some to be a little bit more heart healthy conscious. We use olive oil. I have Smart Balance in the refrigerator. And thankfully, my son has given me some very lean venison sausage. It is lean. And yet here this young preacher keeps getting up here telling me what I don't have. I'm sitting down there on the front pew thinking, get behind me, Robert. Get behind me, Robert. Don't you think I like to smell it too? Well, I say that in jest, but now I say this to you. I believe it may be when we stand before our Lord, which we will, for the Christian, there is the judgment seat of Christ. It just may be that we will be made aware of what we could have had and yet did not receive. Now, just for a moment, consider this verse. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. It says, now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. I believe it's very possible that we will learn in that day things we could have had. It could have been different. Yea, it could have been better. I need you to turn twice this morning. First, turn with me to Jeremiah 33. And then we will read also from the New Testament, James chapter 4. Jeremiah 33, verses 1 through 3. We almost never mention this, but we have handouts up here. If any time you'd like to have one, you're welcome. They're just simply something that kind of follow along the preacher's outline. You're welcome as long as there is a supply. There's some here. There's also some in the balcony up there behind the sound crew. But anytime you so desire, you're welcome to one. Jeremiah 33, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. This is Yahweh, the Lord. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. James chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. James 4, verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. In Jeremiah 33:3 and James 4 verse 2, there are three critical statements made by the Lord and His Word. Jeremiah 33:3, you do not know. James 4 verse 2, you do not have, and you do not ask. On this first Sunday of 2020, I want you to take with me two perspectives on those three statements. First of all, looking back, we see the price of prayerlessness. And then looking ahead, we see the prospects of prayer. Looking back, the price of prayerlessness, the failure to pray as we ought. And yet, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. Looking ahead, the prospects of prayer. Did we miss out on something in 2019? Something that could have been but never will be known, and it is because we did not pray. Our failure to pray comes with a price. Let's look at that in three ways. First of all, prayerlessness prevents us from witnessing the power of God. In Jeremiah 33, the Lord said, I will show you great and mighty things. And yet when we do not pray, we miss out on the experience and the witnessing of the power of God. Beloved, it is no stretch for our thinking today. God can do more. God can do above and beyond. God can exceed all our thoughts and even imagination. You see, we have the record of others who give witness to God's awesome wonders. For instance, in Psalm 44, verse 1, 2, and 3 says, we have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out, for they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. Years ago, I heard evangelist Jay Strack preach from those very verses, and he said, please take note. They said, we've heard, but they did not say, we have seen. And beloved, you and I, we have records. We have the history in the Bible, in church history. We have the accounts of where the Lord did awesome wonders in the midst of His people. But do you not yearn today not only to hear of it, but don't you yearn to see it? Don't you long to see God do awesome things? God said, you got to call on me. You got to pray. And yet when we don't pray, there's the price we're paying. Because there is a direct connection between the prayers of God's people and the power of the people's God working. Also, we have our Lord's requirement to pray and to pray believing. John 11:40, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Remember Moses cried out, show me your glory. Here Jesus is saying, hey, this is not just reserved for Moses. Don't you want to see the manifest glory of God? And yet we know the reason our Lord did not do many mighty works in Nazareth. I think this is one of the most taunting verses in regard to what we're preaching today. Matthew 13:58. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Does not say he did not do many mighty works there because he was tired, because he was busy. No, because of their unbelief. What have we missed? What is it? You see, God said, you don't know. In Jeremiah 30, you don't know. That's the thing about it. We so often just operate within the realm of what we know and how puny that is, how small that is. Call unto me, I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Shouldn't that prick our spiritual curiosity? Should that cause within us, Lord, I want to know. I want to see. Lord, I want you to manifest that which I cannot know apart from your manifestation. I want to know that. So prayerlessness prevents us from witnessing the power of God. Number two, prayerlessness also prevents us from receiving the provisions of God. In the book of James, we're told, you do not have because you did not ask. Things that God would have granted, that God would have given, and we have not because we did not pray. You know, in the Bible, we have reminders. We have reminders in the Bible that God is able to provide for his people. I can just give you some simple words that prove this. Manna, quail, crucible, two fish, five loaves of bread. What's the story behind all that? God is able to provide. Even with what little he might take from our hands, he can bless it and multiply it. That's why those stories are in the Bible. Years ago, we had a little study from Crown Finances simply titled, God Provides. But when we don't pray, we cut ourselves off. I know Malachi says, will a man rob God? Yes, and our failure to give that which is God's. But you know what? We can rob ourselves. We rob ourselves of what God would give us if we would but pray. Why don't we pray? Then also we have biblical reassurances of God's ability to provide for his people. Philippians 4:19, some of you know this from memory. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That verse is true or it isn't. One way or the other. And if you say that's not true, then the one before apparently is not true. And the one after is not true. That's nothing but a snowball effect. It is true. Ephesians 3 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. What does God want to give us? What did he want to give us in 2019? And we did not pray. So what are the resources that could have been ours to use for greater ministry? I'm not talking about fattening your wallet. I'm not talking about just something to pacify you. What would God give us that we can in turn invest in his kingdom? What would have been the greater things? The price of prayerlessness. It prevents us from witnessing the power of God. It prevents us from receiving the provisions of God. But sadly also, prayerlessness proves that we do not believe the promise of God. Prayerlessness proves that we do not believe the promise of God. How do I know that? God said to Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. And we have over in James 4, You do not ask. Why would we not pray? Unbelief. Unbelief. You see, we do not believe, first, that the need is that great. And therefore, we do not believe that we cannot meet our needs. You see, we can get fat and complacent spiritually. I preached a message not too long ago of how blessings can become burdens. Also, we do not believe that God alone can meet our need. The writer in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 said, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." When we don't pray, we've departed from God. We're not seeking His face. We're not depending on Him. We're not trusting Him. Mark 11, verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." And so briefly for a moment, we exercise some reflection on the past. We look back at yesteryear. And we have to admit, we did not pray as much as we could have and should have. That there's too much gap, too many voids in our prayer life. And here the sovereign God of the universe, the God who is holy, as we heard just sung about, and ought to cause fear to everyone. But yet, why were there all those vacations in our prayer time? Why was too many times the closet we did not enter and shut the door and cry out to Him in secret? Why? And yet, what did it cost us? I submit to you, there may come a day when we find out. When we stand before our Lord, and it would be revealed, you could have had this. I would have done this, but you did not call. You see, the seventh church in Revelation 3, the Laodicean church, may well depict very much the nature of the church of today. Rich, increased with goods, and having need of nothing. What will God do for people who have need of nothing? May we repent of our prayerlessness. But now, oh, bless His name, the word came a second time to Jeremiah. Let's look ahead. Let's look ahead. Let's do like Paul. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, let's turn from that. Let's repent of that. Let's leave that behind us. But now as we look ahead into this year, oh, beloved, oh, the prospects, oh, the possibilities, oh, the potential. When we take God at His word, when the creator of the universe has committed Himself to His people. In fact, that theme is throughout the Bible, isn't it? Early in the book of Genesis, we find in the day of Seth, it says, "Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord." It is a primary subject in the Bible that God would have His people to look to Him, to call out to Him and honor Him by trusting Him with all of their lives and to pray about everything. And so now the prospects. Through prayer, there is the prospect of seeing the supernatural. There is the prospect of seeing the supernatural. To see what is undeniably the work of God. Don't you long for that? Don't you long for that? Preachers over time have said rightly that it can very well be that following the rapture, there's a whole lot of things still be going on at local churches. Because so much that is done that is not divine in origin and in ability, but rather just simply run-of-the-mill stuff we do Don't you yearn for something to happen in the midst of God's people that it has to be said, it's the Lord. Acts 4 verse 31, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, they didn't just turn out the lights and go home. The place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, for they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That's a God thing. That's God at work. You remember the first four books of the New Testament make it clear to us, don't put your confidence in these people. They can be very carnal. They can have selfish agendas. They can want to be first in the kingdom. They can deny Jesus just like you. Don't put your confidence in them. Interesting though, when they began to pray, what God did with them. And I've got to believe he can do the same with us. To see what is undeniably the work of God, but also to see what is humanly unexplainable. Psalm 118 verse 23 says, this was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. One of the, I think, sad trends of modern Christianity too often has been, if there was some divine favor upon a work, too often then some of the human leadership began writing books about how it happens, and all of a sudden now all you've got is 10 things to do and this is what's going to happen. That's not in the Bible. There's a mystery to the ways of God. You and I cannot contain him. We cannot. There is that about God that absolutely blows our minds. What we know little, and it's through a glass that is darkened that we see. Oh, that we would have works of wonder in the midst of God's people, that somebody would come. We want to do an interview. We want you to, how did this happen? I don't know. It's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. We've become too clever for our own good. Too smart. Oh, how there needs to be a lostness about us that we stand amazed at what God is doing. Through prayer, such is a prospect to see the supernatural. But also through prayer, there is the prospect of having sufficiency. I love 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 that says, and God is able. Now, just keep that up there. Does anybody have any problems with those first four words? And God is able. You ever have tired muscles? You ever lift something? I shouldn't have done that. Huh? Our God is never stretched. Our God is never strained. Do you serve the God who is able? Do you? God is able to make all grace. We just read of the early church how that there was great grace and great power. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. I believe that one individual of modern era who lived the reality of that verse was a man named George Mueller. Some of you no doubt have heard of him and maybe even read biographies about him. There you see one of his quotes, my Lord is not limited, he can again supply. He lived almost the entire 19th century. At the age of 28, he established the Scripture Knowledge Institute for home and abroad. and had five particular ministries. One, a school for children and adults where Bible knowledge would be taught. Two, Bible distribution. Three, missionary support. Four, tracts and book distribution. And five, the one for which he is best known, to board, clothe, and scripturally educate destitute children who have lost both parents by death. The orphanages, five he had established in his time. It is said that over the course of his life, he cared for some 10,000 orphans. An article by Ed Reese on the life and ministry of George Mueller. He wrote this: "One morning, the plates and cups and bowls on the table were empty. There was no food in the cupboard and no money to buy food. The children were standing waiting for their morning meal when Mueller said, 'Children, you know we must be in time for school.' Lifting his hand, he said, 'Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat.' There was a knock on the door. The baker stood there and said, 'Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you didn't have bread for breakfast and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 a.m. and baked some fresh bread and have brought it.' Mueller thanked the man. No sooner had this transpired when there was a second knock at the door. It was the milkman. He announced that his milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage and he would like to give the children his cans of fresh milk so he could empty his wagon and repair it. The writer says, no wonder years later, when Mueller was to travel the world as an evangelist, he would be heralded as, quote, 'the man who gets things from God.'" Now, you know, let's be honest. We hear something like that, and if we're not careful, there's almost a degree of cynicism. We have so sunk and sagged spiritually in our trust in God that we'll argue with anybody who wants to teach evolution. We'll argue with anybody who wants to deny that God created the heavens and the earth. We just don't believe God can provide our daily bread. Isn't it sad? The prospect of knowing divine sufficiency. That doesn't teach laziness. Jesus taught, did he not, how the Father fed the sparrows? I've never seen a lazy bird. I guess maybe you got one in the pen you've ruined, maybe, but you get out, walk in the woods, hunt, you watch them. They're constantly at work. And yet Jesus said, you know what? The Father feeds them. Oh, beloved, what have we missed? May this year be different. May it bring glory and honor to God. That here's a people who take me at my word. That when I say, call unto me, they say, well, we'll do that. That's not complicated. The Creator says, call. Therefore, we call. We pray. We go to Him. We look to Him. We yearn to see the supernatural. We yearn to receive the provisions. But also, through prayer, there is the prospect of knowing satisfaction. One, in difficult situations. Why do I say that? Jeremiah 33, when the word came a second time to Jeremiah, where was he? He was in prison. He was in prison. And yet the Lord said, call unto me. Call unto me. You see, if you're going to wait always for life to get easier before you start praying, you're never going to pray. Our God is not just a God of sunny days. He is the God of stormy, dark nights. Jeremiah, call upon me. They're in that prison. Don't wait for your release to get renewed in your faith. Right there, you call upon me. I think it's very interesting that the Bible says in Acts 1:14, of those disciples. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now think for a moment. What had happened but weeks earlier? What had happened just weeks earlier? They killed Jesus. They crucified your Lord on a Roman cross. They held him up with contempt to show him in his nakedness with all the ravages of their effects upon his human body. Any reason for those disciples not to think possibly they might be next? Because Jesus said, remember, if the world hates you, it's going to be because they hated me. Now, if you follow the master, the disciples could very well be next. You see? And yet, what do they do? What is their recourse in those very, very demanding, difficult days? Prayer. They prayed. They prayed. They had no army. They had no ability. They had no might. They had no power. They had no political clout. They had nothing. But they had prayer. And look what God did with them. Turning the world upside down in their day. What's your situation like today? Are you waiting for things to lighten up? Oh, friend, I got news for you. In your tough moments, man, that's some of the best opportunities to pray. In your brokenness, in your emptiness, that's a time to pray. He resists the proud. We read just this morning from Psalm 138. Some of you probably thought that's also over in the book of James. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will do what? Ignore you? Oh, lift you up. Lift you up. I challenge you today, as the word challenges me, let's take God at his word this year. Let's just be kind of simple-minded in a sense. Let's just be simple-minded. Let's just take God at his word. Let's just believe God. Just read the Bible. In fact, Mueller said his approach, he said over a course of time, he would read the Bible, he'd read a passage, and whatever in that passage there was that pressed upon him to pray, that's what he prayed. He just took God at his word and prayed what God said in his word. Why don't we just do that this year? Why don't we just kind of reduce the list a little bit? And just, I tell you this year, I'm going to fellowship with God in his word. And as God teaches me, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to take God at his word. God's will, God's way, God's time, God's glory. But I'll trust God. Amen? Amen. Even in a difficult situation. But you know what else? There's also the prospect of knowing this satisfaction in a divided congregation. Now, why did I say that? James chapter 4. There, James depicts people who are skirmishing with each other, people who are in conflict with each other. And look what he tells them they need to do. That prayer, their prayer life's not right. They need to be praying. Again, Acts chapter 1. Those individuals came together to pray. Again, they were people who had been divided. They were people who had been competitive. You know the disciples, each one wanting top seat in the kingdom. But look how they came together, how they humbled themselves together. We pointed out just the other day, Mary was among them. She was not above them. There she was with them praying to the Lord. Here in James chapter 4. Now, James, he questions, why is all this warring? Why is all this fighting among you? And he goes right directly to the problem. He said, you're not praying like you ought. Beloved, when we're praying like we ought, we will be right with our God, but we'll also be right with one another. You can never make it a selfish one-way thing. You're going to be right with God. You've got to be right with each other. John 16:24, Jesus said, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Not carnally, but spiritually speaking, beloved, God wants to satisfy your soul. Don't this year allow the scraps of the world to be your diet. have a practice taking our scraps, because we live out in the country, we have woodland behind us. I take scraps back to the very far back and throw them into trees. It's scraps. It's scraps. It's just what it is. All kind of stuff mingled together. You know, somebody rakes it off into a pot and just throw it out there. Scraps. It'd probably kill me if I tried it. Some of it's been sitting there for a few days, you know, and I take it and throw it away. You know what old coyotes and foxes and raccoons and so forth, they'll come and they'll eat it. That's their diet. Listen, this is our diet. God wants to satisfy your soul. God has gone on record to say this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. The Bible says if we violate one law, we violate all of them. Well, hey, if God does not keep one of his promises, isn't that as much as him violating all of them? And God's not going to do that. God is not a man that he should lie. What God has said he will do, friend, take it to the bank. He will do it. Let us now renounce our flesh. Let us now resist the enemy. And let us now reject the advertisements of the world. And let us be a people who will pray to God, who will seek his face, who will trust him with all of our hearts. Let us repent of our prayerlessness and let us be renewed to take God at his word. Let us pray.